right.
All right, folks, this is Bramble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
It's the Tornado Tony Pinnacle.
And Psychic Tom Paget.
And it is Thursday, after the supposed greatest fight on Earth. What do you guys think? Did it live up to the hype? I don't know. I'd say not so much, but ended up being a 10th round TKO. The corner didn't stop it, but the ref did. And I'd say Tony's prediction was spot on because Floyd took the first four rounds off, like in a lawn chair. He was just letting McGregor punch himself to death, which is the superior strategy, believe it or not. Not Floyd's finest performance.
Well, you know, Floyd did not take the first four rounds off, according to the Nevada State Athletic Commission and judges. They had that fight 8-1 in favor of Mayweather going into the 10th round.
That's the science of fighting the last 10 seconds every round and spending the rest of the round in the Rocky Marciano crouch. He did a lot of that. He actually ended up with his back turned to McGregor a lot, which is kind of funny because he's supposed to be the boxer who knows not to do that. McGregor, if he does ever fight him in the UFC, which is a long, long shot, would be quick to get the rear naked choke on little Floyd there.
Yeah, right.
It would not be a good idea for Floyd to do that. I don't think he's going to, but you know, of course, they're going to try to hype up a rematch and all that crap. But I still would like to see more from Conor. I posted a big article on the site that I don't think he's going to be a good representative of, you know, furthering this. He basically he put himself out there to be the guy that's going to beat Floyd, and he didn't even have the stamina to go 10 rounds, never mind 12. I mean, the championship rounds, the 11th and 12th, supposedly. So I was very disappointed in that. A lot of people are still calling him a hero, you know, great stuff, good boy, patting him on the head. They want to give him a trophy. But I'm really disappointed, and I really don't think he's going to do much with all this hype that he generated out of this, unfortunately. Yeah, he made a lot of money and probably should have made this happen a little bit later so he could have taken more months to train in boxing. Maybe done some more burnouts at practice like we used to do at the Air Force Academy at the end of the day. Just punch the bag till you cannot punch no more as fast as possible. And then even when you can't punch no more, you keep punching. Well, that's 3 or 4 minutes of practice. And the thing is, he didn't have any professional coaches, really. I mean, real, real professional veteran coaches. So that's strike number one going in. And then he beats up Paulie Malignaggi. He thinks he's king of the world. Goes in there against Mayweather and gets outsmarted and, you know, outmanaged, basically. It's all about ring generalship in that situation. And believe it or not, the one thing that McGregor did right is he perfected the up jab, but he fucking forgot to keep his right hand up like Mayweather does in the shoulder. It had nothing to do with the Mayweather stance with the shoulder, like what makes it successful. So he actually did master the up jab, first white guy in history, I think. But he actually out-jabbed Floyd, and he just didn't do anything with it. He didn't follow up with any big shots off his jab, and He didn't use his unique style to his advantage enough to get Floyd in any trouble. I think there was one point where the announcers were saying that, Floyd's in trouble, he's hurt, you know, but I don't even think he was hurt. They're just making shit up.
Yeah, anyway. I'll tell you, my feedback on this fight, Floyd took him in the bed and drowned him. That was the one thing. I have a friend of mine. But he's a boxing fan, so he sent me an email, or he sent me a message on Facebook the other day, again, what I thought, in his terms, as he dubbed it, what did you think of this fiasco? And I actually wrote it in bullet points. I was writing a presentation for work. But I said, you know, when you go back to this fight, here's what I saw. You know, Floyd threw me off a little bit early by, I'm not saying throwing a lot of punches. Floyd threw me off by moving more to his right. That I didn't expect that. because conventional wisdom is you fight a southpaw, you move to your left, away from his power hand. Floyd Mayweather was right. And as I'm thinking about it and analyzing it, maybe the reason for that was that with McGregor's limited experience with boxing, I said this to my friend the night of the fight, we were watching it. McGregor has basically the reputation of being very cocky, very brash, fearless. Oh. I think the word I used in my article was braggadocious.
Yeah.
I said, walking to the ring, he looked like a guy being escorted to the electric chair. I think it was to the point where it was like, oh shit, now I actually have to do it.
Yeah. I think McGregor's that was the
first thing I noticed. Came
not so
very
much.
Tight, and he was throwing up his left hand, and he landed a nice uppercut, but he missed a lot of them. And then another point I made was, I respect Robert Byrd a lot as a referee.
Breaking up a little there, Tony.
McGregor would get behind Floyd. And part of Floyd's fault by when he, I don't think he was turning back, but it's more rolling. McGregor was getting behind him and starting to hammer fist him on the back of the head, which obviously you cannot do in boxing. And Byrd was a little hesitant to, you know, warn him to take a point. And regarding a few people that I heard complain about the stoppage, that's patently
bullshit.
Ridiculous.
Bullshit.
The fight was stopped for a specific reason.
Yep.
The referee's main objective in a fight is to protect the safety of the fighters. Right. That is the most important thing.
On that subject, I think you can say that Conor McGregor's response to that at the end of the fight was a perfect example of, you know, him not knowing shit about boxing, because he said, he should have let me go down. He should have let me go down, he says. I mean, obviously, yeah, you know you're going to lose the fight. You know you're going to go down. So why even let the fight continue at that point if it's a done deal, you know? Stop the fight. So you're not defending yourself.
He could have taken a knee to get a little bit of a rest, but he did not do that. He couldn't hold his arms up anymore. He was getting battered around the ring. I had another guy complain that he's like, oh, they should be giving him an 8 count.
Fuck that.
And the associated rules of the Commission of Boxing, there is no standing 8 count. Now, Robert Byrd could have called one when he buckled and the ropes basically held him up. He could have said his discretion was, ropes held him from going down, I'm going to call a count. But there is no standing 8 count in the associated rules of the Commission of Boxing. So the 8 count thing is thrown out right there. But here's the most important thing. When you get to the bottom line, the fighter could no longer defend himself. His chances of winning were pretty much gone. He was taking punishment, and the referee had saved him from the potential of getting seriously injured. The stoppage was good.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. When your hands are down at your hips, come on. You know the rules.
And there's no excuse. There's no excuse for that shit. I mean, he didn't keep his hands up at all in that fight. And you know, he used his distance as defense. And that never works in boxing. You cannot sustain that over 12 rounds. And I think it was the arm fatigue, number one, because he didn't know how many punches he was going to have to throw to try to win the fight. And there was actually one punch they showed in slow motion where it kind of grazed off Floyd's chest and then came right up his chin. And it was like the perfect uppercut if it had landed perfectly. But, you know, he was just a millisecond off. But, I mean, wow. That's just one little subtle thing Floyd did on defense, even when he's not having his hands up by his face. He can do shit like that. And McGregor just kind of stood there. And actually, this is the one fight where Floyd said, this is what I'm going to do, when he actually did it. And it kind of reminded me of Shane Mosley. I think his dad said something to him before that Shane Mosley fight. Something about don't take a step back, because he just went after Mosley. And he got himself in trouble in the second round doing it.
Yep.
But then he demolished the guy. And I think his dad was funny because his dad was saying before the fight, I don't even know if I'm going to be in his corner. I don't know what's going on. And his dad is there for the whole fight telling him what to do. But McGregor already had his plan in motion. And not only did he tell you what he was going to do beforehand, he's just going to come straight forward, which he did pretty much, even though he did duck a lot of punches and play defense most of the first four rounds. He did come straight forward, literally. And it was probably the one example where he just totally nailed his prediction of what he was going to do. And then after the fight, he was honest enough to say, hey, our plan going in was 25 minutes. You know, let him go 25 minutes, get him tired. And, you know, that's the longest he would ever possibly go in an MMA fight. So that's all he's good for. It turned out to be right, which is genius.
You remember, we talked about this before. We talked about the difference in cardio. And that was such a big issue here. And Floyd's been boxing since he was, what, five?
Right.
Okay, so that's 35 years.
It's not rocket science.
Now, there's such a thing called muscle memory. You guys know this.
Yep.
It's like playing the piano or playing any instrument. Once you have that connection, that's going to be there. I don't care if Mayweather's 60. He's still going to be able to go a few rounds just based on muscle memory.
And I'll be the first to say, hey, good job, Mayweather. But you basically made this a done deal just by signing this fight. You knew it was going to end this way. And, you know, you didn't really have to work that hard to get it done. But from the looks of it, I actually had to watch the whole fight again the next day because my feed was sponsored by Skippy Peanut Butter. So I didn't get to really see the good stuff the night of the fight. But, you know, the sharing sites out there were kind enough to leave me a feed to watch the next day. And I watched the whole thing. I studied it. I looked at both guys. And McGregor actually would have had a chance if he had spent like three more months training boxing, I think. But that was another reason why Floyd knew it was a done deal, because he basically rushed it. Once the $25 million came out there, he knew he could extend that to, you know, maybe a couple hundred mil. And with sponsorships and payments and pay-per-view and all that. So he just rushed it. He said, all right, let's do it. Right before the Canelo fight, let's do it. And that put Conor at a huge disadvantage. And I think the youth factor did play a role in the first four rounds, but he blew his wad and he got tired. He went that 25 minutes and he could not handle the deep water. And that's really... And it's kind of sad that there will probably never be a rematch, but... you know, I do give the guy props for standing in there with the best in the world and kind of, you know, holding his own a little bit and having some, at least the announcers thinking he was winning. But, yeah, it's just not, it's not what it was cracked out to be, but a lot of people giving him way too much credit when there's a lot of basics that he didn't do. You know, it's kind of boxing 101. If he had a decent trainer in there, we told him, you know, at least keep one hand up by your damn face. You know, Tony was very good at predicting that he's going to get beat up in the eyes. You know, his eyes are going to be all swollen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what happens.
Another thing that kind of
go ahead.
If you go back and look at my prediction, I said six rounds, along the lines of Mayweather. But I think more along the lines of Mayweather Hatton, where Hatton came out there trying to maul early and really had Mayweather on the defensive until Mayweather figured him out, started dishing out a beating, and knocked him out in 9 or 10 rounds. And this fight, I had said that Mayweather took the right hand and landed over and over. He was going to start landing some left uppercuts, and then he faint and land shots to the body. If you go back and look at it, Mayweather actually started his attack on the body with the straight right hand to the body. He was landing body shots, which then in turn opened up the head shots. I thought it was going to happen in the opposite manner.
All right, two more big things to talk about on this fight, and then we're moving on. Number one, I think you'll like this topic, Tony. The 50-0 breaking Rocky Marciano's record is absolute bull. It's not true. They're fucking all wrong about that. Because yes, he did, you know, break a record of 50-0. He's got that. A lot of fighters didn't get that, but Rocky Marciano had that record as the only heavyweight champion to retire undefeated. Okay? So, yes, Floyd is retiring now undefeated, but he was not champion. He's the money fucking champion. That's not a real champion. They made up a stupid belt. It's, you know, maybe it's WBC, but it's not a real championship belt. And you could say he never lost the title, you know, when he retired, but he did not retire an official champion with this 50th win. So I think it's bullshit that they're saying that he broke Rocky's record. I don't think that's true. Just my two cents on that. And then Showtime's getting sued because the feed sucked for a lot of people that actually paid for it. Never mind the people that were streaming it free like me. Showtime is a class action suit going. And this is funny that that happened right then, because what happened with Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather lawsuit just ended. It was finally dismissed. And they said that basically that the fans, yes, they were entitled to a fight, but it didn't have to be a good fight. So that's the basic summary of the decision, which I laughed out loud at, because it was like, all right, well, yeah, that's a good point. You know, you paid your money, you're entitled to a fight. It doesn't have to be a good fight. You know, even if the guy was perfectly healthy, it could have been a bad fight. No, nobody can tell that just because he went in with a bad shoulder. So the judge basically said, you know, my hands are tied. I can't say that, you know, just because you pay all this money, you're guaranteed a perfect fight. So Manny's off the hook there.
You're going to get happy times, you know?
But Showtime's getting sued now. And this one could win because it has nothing to do with the performance of the fight. It has to do with paying money to get a service, and then they had the service knocked out for a while. And then they said they're going to have to actually delay the main event because of these streaming issues. And I don't know if it was over, under estimation of what they're going to have for viewers, or just pure technical fuck-ups, or what the problem was, but they're going to pay some hundreds of millions of dollars, I think, out of what they made off of this into the kitty by the time this is all done, if it goes the distance. So they did say they'd give some people refunds, but it was funny because even Dick Vitale, the basketball announcer dude, showed a tweet where he's watching his TV and there's like a big error message on it, and he's at a party with a big flat screen TV getting ready to watch the fight, and he can't watch the fight, and even the UFC stream went down, so it didn't make them look good either. I was actually watching the UFC stream for a little while for free. It was actually kind of cool. It's probably the best color out of any of them for free, but I didn't go to my usual site, because my usual site was a nightmare trying to watch it. So, it is what it is, but what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Here was my this was like a comedy. You guys know from the years doing the show together. I know Tom's been on with us for a couple of years, and Rich and I have been doing this for almost 10 years now. You guys know I'm usually the, I don't know, what's a good word to describe me in a public setting?
I don't know. Yeah. Boxing Rayman is our best.
Powerful, opinion. Outspoken, noticeable, not shy. I'll keep working. Yeah, you got my drift, Tony.
Okay. Oh, by the way, thank you for signing my petition, both of you.
No.
But we're going to this bar. My mic calls down. I'm going to give you three choices, and I was one of the three. The obnoxious one, the drunk belligerent one, and the mature and responsible one.
Were you all three?
Okay. See, I'm going to chase the mature responsible.
Sad.
Did we lose you guys? Hello?
I'm all stuff with my friend. I said, when people at a place, that's not a good sign. And I'm a little bit over the... So, I talked to my friend in the afternoon, and he said, I'll call, whatever. I said, then, and I'm a guy that, if he's a big fight on... Now, back in the day, like, Dr. De La Hoya, I used to average a beer around. You know, I'd put down half a case in 8 minutes. So, but now I'm like, I just want to play. I sit there and I really enjoy it. So, around 6:30, I text my friend. I said, Mike, I'm not going to drink tonight. Why don't I DD you guys? He calls me at 7 and says, we're already at the bar. I said, oh, Jesus Christ, this is not going to be good. He goes, Kevin, you better get here before it's too crap. I said, okay. I get there around 8, and I had, you know, 2 beers. I was done by 9:30. I milk them. The crowd starts to pack in. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. There was this one little guy there, must have weighed about 103 pounds, and he was high and or drunk, and he was screaming about Mayweather and how he hates Mayweather, and Mayweather's a chicken, all that. And so we were really busting his balls pretty good. Then this one girl came in, and you could tell she was just one of those, I can't think any way to describe her. She was ugly, overweight, bad attitude, foul-mouthed, you know, just really trashy. Right. So the whole fight, she's, fuck you, man, you're a pussy, this and that, come on, Connor. So me and my friends, we start taunting her every time McGregor missed a punch. We would yell, miss, or we would start really cheering for Floyd. And when the fight got stopped, she was, bullshit, that's bullshit, and she was yelling and screaming. So my friend Mike, who was pretty drunk, but turns her, throws up the L sign and goes, loser, it's over, you know, he lost, shut up. So she gets up, and she really starts getting vulgar with Mike. Mike's pretty drunk, so he calls her a fat few words, and she takes a beer bottle and, like, literally sticks him in the face with the bottle, not broken, but, like, the knobla. Whoa. So he smacked that out of her hand. Her husband gets up. I'm now in the middle of this. I'm like, all right, oh, Jesus Christ. And then my other friend, he blows everything down. My friend sitting there, he goes, oh, man, he can barely stand. So I'm glad it was my fight. And he's like, I'm not going to stay too much longer. I said, good. I said, you shouldn't be having me more. He's like, maybe I'll walk to my uncle's because his uncle is right behind the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, do you want to go to my uncle's? No, I don't want to go to my uncle's. Okay, what do you want to do? I want to go home. Okay, I'll drive you home. Well, I'm not leaving my new truck in the parking lot. I said, well, you're not driving it home. It's only a couple miles, but you're not driving it. We're not leaving it. I said, all right, I'll make a deal with you. Your uncle lives right behind the bar, like not even a quarter mile. I will let you take your truck to his house, and then I will drive you home. So he gets to his uncle's house. His cousin had just got him from work, and he's sitting there going, hey, let's wake your father up. Oh, let's wake the neighbors up like we do when we were kids. And I'm like, no, let's not do any of it. Get your ass in my car so I can take you the hell home. Then I can drive my 30 minutes home and go to bed. Mature and responsible one.
Nice.
I thought that. It's just kind of my sixth sense.
Sometimes you have to be, though. You know, there's like a time for all that drunken nastiness, and I call it college. That's what happened with me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I drink every now and then. I have a six-pack, but, I had a bad experience, actually, at the Luke Bryan concert, drinking too much. We're trying to do the pregame thing, because it's like... It's like literally inside the concert hall up here. It's like $13 for a twisted tea, like the small can. Come on. So I tried to drink beforehand, and we tried this new thing. It was like a pina colada deal, all in one big malt liquor aluminum can type deal. And I drank one of those, and then my girlfriend tried to mix hers with ginger ale, and I think drinking that one beforehand was the one that really killed me. Because it was not right. Not right in the belly there, but yeah, I had to sit down for a couple songs. It was all right. Still a good concert. But anyway, yeah, sometimes it's better to be the observer watching all these guys get into it. But yeah, I bet that lady didn't get paid for her knockout punch. Mayweather and McGregor, yeah, they got paid big bucks. And actually, there were some good undercard fights, believe it or not. Although Gervonta Davis, you know, kind of got away with one there, knocking out Francisco Fonseca with a rabbit punch to the back of the head. It was totally illegal. Ref somehow did not catch that. But other than that, it was some good fights. Badu Jack looking like the better Mayweather pupil. He demolished Nathan Cleverley, and talk about saying what you're going to do before the fight. Badu Jack said he was going to terrorize him, and he's going to beat the ever-living crap out of him. And Cleverley retired after the fight, literally. Retired. Done with his career. So Badu Jack exposed him, basically.
He didn't look down to that dude.
All done. Pretty good stuff there. I didn't watch that fight totally, but, you know, I was kind of looking at it here and there. Also, Thomas Dulorme lost to Yordanis Ugas on Saturday. And then that was actually a replacement. I believe Thomas Dulorme was supposed to face somebody else, and Ugas just stepped in. And talk about, yeah, Sean Porter. So talk about a crazy effort to just, you know, make yourself known. He beat up that Dulorme guy, made him look small. That was a good fight to watch. Poor Steve Cunningham got his butt kicked by a young up-and-comer named Andrew Tabidi. I did not really get to watch that one at all. For some reason, I was busy. I kind of had a feeling that wasn't going to be good. On Friday, Toriano Johnson lost to Sergey Derevyanchenko. Sorry, I don't have his actual, you know, rounds and results and all that crap here in front of me, but BoxRec does have a nice new front page with all these results here in front of me, so I got to read them. Emmanuel Lim also lost to Hugo Centeno Jr. on Friday, and the big one that got overshadowed was Miguel Cotto winning another title, beating Yoshihiro Kamigai. That's good stuff there. Big win for him. And shows that he's still capable of throwing down. And, of course, we have some fights coming up. This is my favorite fight of the week. You know how they say somebody's O's got to go in a fight? Undefeated guys?
Yeah.
Well, these guys both have 10 losses, but something else is going to happen. Somebody's Jesus has to lose, because this is Jesus versus Jesus in Sinaloa, Mexico. And Jesus Jimenez has a 34-10-1 record, and Jesus Uribe has an 18-10-5 record. And it's the only fight on the card tomorrow night down in Sinaloa, Mexico. So, a lot of drug lords are going to be watching that one down there. Who's going to win? Jesus! So, Jesus is guaranteed to win, but somebody's Jesus got to lose. And we got a couple other good ones. Actually, there's one in London that's halfway decent main event. Jake Ball, 9-1, fighting Joe Sheriff. How's that for a boxing name? He's the Sheriff. He's undefeated. He's 11-0. I wonder if his nickname is the Sheriff Sheriff. There's a funny name for a guy, of course, in the United Kingdom. Billy Pickles in the main event. 3-0, fighting Chris Attaway, who is, if that's advice, like, hey, attaboy, he's not doing so well. He's 8-34-4. And Billy Pickles is going to beat him up at 3-0, I think. Billy Pickles. I was immediately looking at the Attaway name, and I didn't even look at the Billy Pickles name until after. That's a good one. Hey, who's fighting tonight? Billy Pickles. He's going to beat the shit out of this guy. All right, still on Friday. By the way, Top Rank and ESPN just made a deal in boxing. I thought they already had something going, but I think maybe that was Golden Boy and ESPN. But I think they're going to be getting out of Premier Boxing Champions business eventually, if not already, with this kind of stuff, because pretty much probably spent a lot of money to get it done. Anyway, they're having a boxing pact with Top Rank, and I think that's going to That's going to ruffle the feathers of the PPC people. But that's in the news this week. But they'll have the exclusive ability to televise top-ranked fights. And this could be big for Manny Pacquiao because it's going to have all the rights to everything. Streaming, pay-per-view rights, all that stuff. And ESPN is not doing so well either, so maybe they are hoping this is a big money play for them and they get a lot of sponsors to pay for this. That's a big story this week. Let's see what else for fights we got. We do have a UFC fight coming up this weekend too. Gotta love how they have a fight coming up Saturday, and it's still a TBA there. Here's one in Chihuahua, Mexico. Not quite the Jesus fight of the week, but we have Antonio Margarito, 40 wins, 8 losses, fighting Carson Jones, who's got 40 wins and 11 losses, with 3 draws. And Margarito's got 3 losses out of his last 6. Jones only has 1, so might be Margarito's last stand here. I don't know. Also on the card, Ramon Alvarez, 24-6-2, fighting Johnny Navarrete, who is 33-10-1. Jamie Munguia, 24-0, fighting Uriel Gonzalez, who is 16-2-1. And we got a fight, and everything's in Mexico this weekend. You got to go to Mexico if you want to watch some good fights. There's 2 Jesus fights on this card. Luis Concepcion, 36-5, is in the main event against Iran Diaz. I bet he doesn't like to be called Iran Diaz. He is 12-2-2. Then the co-main event is a Jesus fight. It's Jesus Rojas, 10-4-1, fighting Santiago Dominguez, who is 8-0. And way down on the card, we got Jesus Avalez fighting Antonio Gonzalez. And we got Roberto Duran's brother making his pro debut, Oscar Duran. No, I don't think they're related. Oscar. Guanajuato, Mexico. I think that's the place that they were talking about in Shawshank Redemption. Guanajuato, Mexico. Nice beach there. Anyway, Eduardo Hernandez got 23 wins, 0 losses, 3 ties, fighting Raul Horacio Centeno. 20 wins, 3 losses, 1 tie. Then we got Lourdes Juarez. Oh, by the way, that's for the WBC Youth World Super Featherweight title. We also have Lourdes Juarez, female flyweight title fight against Cecilia Santoscoy Ramirez. Lourdes is 20-2. Cecilia is 2-4, so that could be the mismatch this week. Right there. That's a rough one. And then, of course, Mexico again, another card. Miguel Vasquez, 38-5, fighting for the WBC Latino Super Welterweight title against Jose Daniel Ruiz. He's got 34 wins, 10 losses, 2 draws. And not really a whole lot on the undercard there. If you want to see a lot of boxing this weekend, go to Mexico. It's happening everywhere. Of course, we got the big fight coming up, too. Might be a better boxing match. Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin. Coming up real quick. So Tony's crunching his Rain Man computer on that one already. Still on Saturday. Let's see if there's anything in the United States on Saturday worth watching. I'm sure there's got to be something. Yeah. January to Sunday. How about this guy in Gauteng, South Africa? Headline in the card, Lucky Moneybane. He's 5-1, fighting Fila Mponthana, who is 11-1. Probably butchered that name. That's on Sunday. That's pretty much it, I think, for the big stuff this weekend. UFC Fight Night 115, Struve versus Volkov, is going on Saturday night. Not a lot of big news in the MMA world. UFC's kind of been on a holding pattern since the McGregor-Mayweather fight situation. But Stefan Struve comes in at 28-8. Had a heart issue, I believe, that kept him out of some fights. Actually, he was supposed to have fights... guy just left for Bellator there, and I think he had a heart issue backstage. He had to call it off, hyperventilated or something. Anyway, Alexander Volkov comes in with just as many wins, 28, 6 losses, and he's a really good kickboxer from what I've seen of him in action. And he's going to have to use those kicks to get to Stefan's head. I don't know, he might be a little shorter than him. Stefan usually towers over his opponent. They don't call him the skyscraper for nothing. And it should be a good fight. It's actually going to be in the Netherlands, too, so I think it's going to be close to Stefan's hometown area. It's going to be a hometown fight for him. No, Volkov, probably from Russia. Not too far away there for his fans. it's big having them go overseas for an event. I'm sure there's going to be a big time difference issue. Co-main event there is Leon Edwards, 13-3, fighting Brian Barberina, 13-4. He was actually kind of a late stand-in, and in his last fight, I forget who he fought, but beat somebody he wasn't supposed to beat. He improved to 13-4. He's fighting Leon Edwards, who's 13-3 there. Also on the card, Francimar Barroso, 19-5, fighting Alexander Rakic, who is 8-1. Rustam Khabilov, 21-3, fighting Desmond Green, who's 20-5. Abdul Karim Edilov, 16-4, fighting Bohjan Mihaljlovic, who is 10-5. Mirbak Taisumov, 25-5, fighting Felipe Silva, who's 8-0. We had a Bellator fight this past weekend. I think there was an upset in that one too, if I remember correctly. I did watch them this Friday night, but for some reason I'm drawing a complete blank as to who fought. Give me a name. Yeah, it was Bellator 185. Yeah, let me look it up. Anyway. Good stuff. Bellator. Yeah. Korshkov versus Chidi Njikawani. And Korshkov proved he's still in it to win it. He wants that another chance at the belt, I believe, there. But this kind of was a puzzling one to me because Njikawani really didn't seem like he was at that level. He didn't look very good at all. So I was kind of surprised that they matched them two up. But they've got a very small pool. That's the thing a lot of people don't realize about Bellator is that they have a smaller pool than the UFC to pick from. And, you know, they do stuff their fight cards with a lot of... young up-and-coming folks, but they also have that NASCAR series where they do stuff with NASCAR. They just had one last weekend with guys you never even heard of. They throw up for like 4 fights a night there, but for the most part, you know, these big name matchups are few and far between. Once they do it once, it's like, you know, who else are you going to fight? That's why they've had so many damn rematches.
Anyway. Trying to get to the fight card here. Go over the results. My computer has decided to go super slow on me. You guys got anything to fill the time? Anything you want to discuss? Get off your chest? Whoa. Dead silence. Hello? Can you hear me now? Hello? Hello?